Intervju Radija Študent.
Jungle. Pred današnjim nastopom v kinu Šiška smo se pogovarjali z glavnima predstavnikoma skupine Jungle, ki v stilu internetne dobe zbuja vedno več zanimanja. Njihov indie soul funk disco orientiran prvenec, ki bo danes večer odmeval med zidovi kina Šiške, jim je pred kratkim prinesel tudi nominacijo za prestižno britansko nagrado Mercury.
So how are you guys? How's your trip? Are you ready for the concert? Are you excited? Have you been to Slovenia ever before?
This is our first time in Slovenia. We just came from Croatia. Mm. We played Unknown Festival yesterday, which was amazing, good fun. We're really excited to be here, you know, it's a great country and we can't wait to play the show tonight.
Okay. So let me start at the beginning. So you two are childhood friends and when did you start writing your music? When did you and how? What did it sound like in the beginning?
So I guess we started really in January 2013, and then I guess the ideas just developed and grew over the course of about 12 months.
When you say January 2013, I think he means obviously Jungle. We've obviously been writing music for 10 years, not very good music, and then gradually better and better and better.
Yeah, sure.
It's probably been about 10 years writing together, but 1 year making Jungle sounds.
So it developed by the years that it progressed.
Yeah, definitely.
In quality. And
yeah, like anything, like a football player.
Yeah, sure. And what were your major influences like in the beginning, and what are your major influences now? And
We were listening to a lot of things, generally just good music. What sounded good to us was good songs that were emotional. Anything from J. Paul Jasmine to, you know, the Beach Boys. It depends on, it just what sounds good sounds. So that was the main influence for us, really.
Okay, and actually, how did you come to the name Jungle? Do you think it's connected to the sound of your music? Or?
Not necessarily. I think we named the project
very early
when we didn't expect anything to happen, and so it wasn't a big thing. And obviously, Jungle is an offshoot of drum and bass. It's also, and that's a big connotation with music. It's also, you know, obviously a place and, you know, the Amazon rainforest. We like the idea that it has so many names and that it's such a big thing that it's kind of insignificant as well. It's just a name, you know, but it kind of happens to work for us.
Okay. And what do you think of your influences of your music is based on a lot of genres. What do you think is, What can we hear in your music of all the genres?
I think for us, it's Jungle is very honest creatively for us. I think as you grow older, you become more true to yourself and who you are as an individual, and you become a little bit more proud of that. I think when you're younger, you write music to try and please other people. So I think actually what Jungle is for us is a collection of like all our musical and like cultural memories, you know.
There's definitely, you know, hip hop in there. There's definitely parts of soul, funk, electronic music, modern production, beat making, as well as, you know, progressive music, krautrock. You know, it's just all mashed into one sort of. We take the kind of lightest bits and make a big collage.
So how would you describe your sound to, I don't know, someone who doesn't know anything about your music, or, I don't know, to a deaf person?
It's very difficult. I think we like to think that it has a lot of groove. We like to move our bodies and we like to see our audience like having a good time.
So. There's multi-layers to it. There's a lot of different layers to the sound. For example, we have the top layer, which is what we call like the fun layer, the accessible layer, which is I can hear a song and I like it and it sounds good. And then there's the production layer, which is you can listen to the details of how the music's been produced and what the sounds actually sound like. And then obviously the lyrical layer and the emotional layer, which is what the songs mean. So we kind of structure them on those three layers, and obviously the groove layer, which you spoke about earlier. So maybe four layers of different elements.
So you guys are self-taught musicians. So do you think that actually acts as a privilege in your case, or what do you think?
It's a good thing.
You learn to, well, there are no boundaries because you haven't been taught any. You haven't been taught any rules, or and so you're creatively very like uninhibited, you know.
If you get taught to play a piano like a classical musician, it's quite hard to break out and become experimental. You train so much, it's very, once you have a box, it's very hard to break out of the box. And for us, we just go with what sounds good, and most of the time the sounds on the record might be sound like a synth, but they'll be played on a guitar because we're, you know, doing something crazy with a brush on the strings or whatever, you know. It's just about what something sounds like, not how you got there.
And what do you actually strive for in your music? What do you want your listeners to feel? What do you want them to experience? What's the thing that you...
Well, I think in the studio, one of our main philosophies is to have fun, because when you're making music and not having fun, then there's no point in doing that. You know, I think for us, it's a release of our personalities. It's a release of our like emotional energy. So yeah, I think ultimately, I think we expect people to listen to it and enjoy it with us.
And the recognition that you gained, like in virtually no time at all, were you surprised that it happened that way?
Yeah, I think obviously everybody who makes music or plays football or anything like that has massive dreams. Otherwise, you wouldn't really do it. You watch Barcelona play and you want to be Lionel Messi. You know, you watch Arcade Fire play and you want to be a massive band, or you listen to Jay Dilla and you want to be a great producer, and you dream of that. I think your expectations are slightly different, and we try not to expect too much, and then, you know, we're pleasantly surprised when things come our way.
It's been a very surprising year. I think everything that's happened to us has been crazy and unexpected, and that's the really nice thing.
I think that 2 days ago you were nominated for the Mercury Prize. Yeah. Your album, congrats by the way.
Thank you.
How did you react to that? What did you think of that?
It's a big surprise. Yeah. You know, it's an incredible list. There are so many amazing artists who have been nominated this year, and so yeah, we're very lucky to be recognised in that group.
Okay. Well, do you think that your album and your sound and your success is sort of a product of the information age, because the internet and because of all the things that are combined in your sound? And because all of your videos are sort of viral, do you think that some of your successes?
I think it is in a way, because the information age and the digital age gives everybody access to everything around the world. Whether or not you've been there, and if you look at the way the songs are and the feelings that we have in the songs, they're very locational and they're very, you know, set in different places that we necessarily hadn't been to before that. If you think about the heat, you know, for us, that's like the beach. It is a place, let alone a song. And, you know, we kind of see Venice Beach, Miami and Copacabana in Brazil all in like one sort of crazy thing. But we only know that through films and video games and songs and books and all these sorts of things that build up. And you access that through the internet. If there was no internet, we wouldn't be able to find all these things easier, you know.
So these elements that are in your music, like Grand Theft Auto, or I don't know if the heat, I sort of imagine like the 80s and police cop stories and
yeah,
sort of like that.
That's where it kind of starts, and we have a lot of fun with the idea of that, and those songs live in those spaces. They're almost soundtracks to movies that are in our own head. And that's why they kind of sound fun and weird, and we laugh about it before we write the song. We have the sirens going, and it's a bit of a kind of joke, and then that sort of energy that you laugh on brings about more creativity to finish the songs.
So that sort of third element in the music, sort of the soul of the music, what do you actually do to capture that? Do you actually... do you think that people react to that? Do you believe strongly in that third element?
Yeah, I think people react to honesty. And what we try to do in our lyrics and in the way that we make our music is be very honest. And I think that's why we ended up, like when we started making music for Jungle and we started kind of finding our sound, we were very interested in the way that hip-hop producers take samples from records and And in a way, that's like trying to capture, like Kanye West will try and capture the soul of Curtis Mayfield and put it into his song. And so we love that sound and we love that idea, but we wanted to put our own soul into the song rather than someone else's. And so we set about making a lot of music and then cutting it up and sampling it. And that felt like a much more honest way to represent who we were.
So when you were writing the album, did you focus on the songs by themselves, or were you actually trying to make it a whole, to
I
work
think,
as a whole?
It was difficult. You have to start with the songs because, again, it's that thing of over-ambition. If you try and focus on an album, you know, you get confused by the overwhelming nature of how long it takes to make an album. You don't make an album in a week. You can barely make a song in a week. And if it's going to be a good song, it can take months because of the detail that you have to put into it. And the detail that, you know, people don't necessarily hear, but overall they feel. And it's important to just kind of focus on song by song. And then once you have 8 songs, you're kind of going, oh, well, they kind of work in there. And there's some songs we didn't put on the album because they sound like completely ridiculous or they didn't feel right. And I think once you write more, they become an album. And I think an album is just like a milestone. It's just a collection of work by a certain group of people. And that becomes a concept in itself.
And when you were writing your music, did you intend it to be so danceable, so groovy, so catchy and listenable?
Well, I think it started from more of a kind of, I've got ADHD, so I'm always kind of, you know, getting a little bit bored. So I think the kind of groove keeps me
excited
into it and always like straight away. And a lot of the drum beats come in very early on the tracks. It's that way of kind of, you know, it's almost keeping us interested in it all the time. So, yeah.
But the album is like 40 minutes long, and when you play live, do you actually extend the songs, or do you...
Yeah, I mean, when we play live, it's a case of transforming them into new things. I think the album was produced in quite an electronic way, and we wanted to experiment, you know, with it live, and that's the whole point of live. You know, if we wanted people to hear it electronically, you can just listen to it, but when people come and see it live, it's got to be performed live, and that's what's exciting about it. So everything has its own dynamic and its own world.
So what's it like playing in a collective? Like it's 5 other people, do they have any saying in the songwriting or anything like that?
Well, it's fun, first and foremost. I think it's an exciting experience turning around and seeing your best friends having a lot of fun with you. So. Yeah, I mean, they help us in it when we're rehearsing for the live tracks. They have a lot of input into what they think is going to work on stage. And they're all incredibly talented, and I think now you'll see that tonight. You know, you come in and it's just going to be a big party.
So do you think the sound is extended in when it's played live?
It's reinterpreted. And
it's richer?
Yeah,
definitely. Oh, it's definitely richer. It's definitely more aggressive and heavier. Because of the nature of live music, there's more instruments than there on the record. They're deeper. Obviously, listening to music on a massive sound system makes the sound much bigger anyway. So it's definitely more fun, I would say, live. And it's always changing, you know.
And are you actually planning on the next album? Do you have any plans or any ideas for the next album?
Yeah, you begin to think about it. I think because we've only just released the first record, it's going to be quite nice to have a little break from thinking about that sort of stuff, because being in the studio is a very intense experience. And so I think when we go back into the studio, we want to set aside some good quality time to get back into that mindset. But we're just enjoying playing live at the moment.
In the modern age, though, you don't have, it's not the same as it used to be. You don't have the time to go away for 2 or 3 years and make an album. You know, you've only really got a year, and you look at Alt J, you know, they were touring for 2 years after their first album, and now they're already back with a new album. And they could only really take a year out before somebody would replace them. And that is definitely related to the digital age and the information age because of blogs. You know, so quick, the turnover.
And do you have any ideas where your sound will go? Is that a well-kept secret, or?
I mean, you've got ideas and imaginations. I think deeper and bigger and more widescreen.
Do you now, when there's 7 of you, do they think you're your songwriting, you adapt your songwriting to the seven of you, or
maybe possibly it depends about interpreting it. It depends, you know, on the situation. There may be some tracks where we play a seven and we sample that, or some tracks which are started by one person.
Okay, what does it all actually mean to you? Has this actually become your life? You've actually, I don't know, a year ago you were just making music, and now you're touring the world, and you've
it's very emotional. It's very emotional, and it's very captivating, and it's very all-encompassing. It is incredible.
Take over, yeah, it takes over life, but it's in the best way. I think it's what we've always wanted to do, and now that we have the opportunity to do it, we're not going to take that for granted, and we're going to try and work.
Yeah, I think it's about energy, and I think when you grow up and when you watch people and you go to shows, you steal energy and inspiration. I remember seeing a load of bands from The Strokes and to kind of loads of hip-hop, like Jest, UK hip-hop, and watching it and being in love with it and being so inspired to go and make that. And now that we're in a position that we can make that, you know, it's our job to kind of give people that energy back or put it back into the world.
And actually an interesting thing was that you started out with anonymity, being anonymous, and actually just with two letters,
yeah,
with your names. So can you tell me about that? Why did you choose to be anonymous in the
beginning?
I think
it was something that kind of happened a little bit by accident because of the internet. We weren't necessarily...
we weren't trying to hide.
We weren't trying to do anything like that.
It was something that was more interesting than us, because we're producers, and I think a lot of people expected us to be like lead singers or front men, and that's not our personality. And so I think, like Damon Albarn in Gorillaz, we wanted to take to step back from the front and show people our music and our art. Like, the videos, yeah, are so important to us because we put so much work and effort into that, and those characters.
Yeah, it's all about building that world, and we were, you know, very conscious of building the jungle world where the videos live and where the music lives, and kind of almost separating the real life personalities from that, and using jungle as a place where we can go, where there is no ego, or there is no names, or it's not about one person being a statue or a front cover, you know, because then it makes it about that person and how good they look, you know, who cares about that? It's like a video game for us. You want to switch on your PlayStation and play that and leave, you know,
reality
behind, and that's what creativity and art is all about.
So it's sort of actually escapism and...
Yeah, and from the purest form for us, really, and then if other people want to escape into it, that's their choice.
Of course.
We can only show them the door.
And the videos that actually contributed to your success and to your... to your success, what do you... Why did you choose these dancers for videos, and how did you come to the idea and so on?
For us, it's the simplest idea. I think the dance is the easiest way for a human to connect with music. It's the first thing, you move your body, it's the first thing that happens when you hear music. It's just a natural reaction, and I think that the amazing thing about those videos is they all those dancers, they tell us a new story about our song that we don't know yet. So we give them a set of emotions to work with, and then they come and dance for us, and we learn new things about our songs on a day-to-day basis. You know, you look at B-Girl Terror in the first Platoon video, and you know, there was an amazing confidence about her, and that sort of changed our perception of our song from then on. So now it means like four different things to us.
Okay. So are you planning on any other videos, or in the future, do you have any ideas?
Yeah, there's another video in the pipeline. I wouldn't want to say too much about it now because it'll probably spoil the surprise, and I like the idea of it being a surprise. I think that's what's fun about it. So there's definitely something to look forward to.
And you also are looking forward to the whole thing. You just actually begun your career, and there's just a lot of things for you to explore, and there's a lot of things before you, right?
Yeah, it's really exciting. We're about to go to the USA for a month, and then a big tour in the UK, and then in Europe as well. So it's been a crazy ride, and I think, the next year is going to be difficult, and we're going to have to work very hard, but it's going to be really fun.
Okay. Anything you want to say for the Slovenian fans, or for the people?
Thanks for the support, and we look forward to kind of meeting you and playing for you and being here.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers, appreciate it.
See you later.
Actually, just have one last question.
That's all right.
my friends been begging me. I actually introduced your music to a lot of my friends, so they're all been begging me to ask you this question. Is there anyone in your band named George?
Yeah.
Well, that would make him George of the Jungle.
Yeah, it is definitely.
I suppose he's the drummer, so maybe he's the most important person on the stage.
He is.
He's the energy. He's the life behind it. So yeah, maybe that's.
Did you know there was somebody called George?
No, actually. So that's very fun. Yeah.
That is good. That's made the interview complete.
Thanks a lot.
V današnjem Ereš intervjuju smo poslušali pogovor z vodilnima predstavnikoma skupine Jungle. Z njima se je pogovarjal Matej Mihevc. Nocoj pa Jungle lahko ujamete na koncertu v kinu Šiška.
Intervju Radija Študent.